in the early chapters of Luke's Gospel, very carefully structured, right after the Annunciation to Mary comes the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. And these late weekdays of Advent follow this structure exactly. So yesterday's Gospel was the account of the Annunciation. It was the Golden Mass. Now we read the very next verses, which is the account of the Visitation. This Mass doesn't have a nickname like Golden Mass, but it could just as well be gold, because it's the gold being brought into the world. Visitation. In fact, people have pointed out that the common term for this in English, visitation, it has a disadvantage, because a visit in English usually means just a stop over for a cup of coffee or something like that, or stop in for a weekend. And Mary went to visit Elizabeth not just to say hello and how are you. She stayed there for 3 months. So it was more of a family reunion than a visit. But anyway, visitation. Since we ponder this mystery every time we pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, we know that there's a lot to it. There's a lot going on in these few verses, in the encounter of these two pregnant women, and in the experience and the activity of their unborn sons. There's always a lot going on when you're in the presence of a pregnant woman, and it's not always something that you know. It's something that's going on in secret. So there's a lot going on in this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth. But before we get to that, it might be helpful to ponder for a moment why Mary went in the first place, before she actually arrived. What was going on? Now, because we tend to complicate things because we're sinners, we might, in our reflections, put on Mary things that are not there. And Mary was not that complicated. She didn't have the effect of sin, which is like potholes in the road. She had a clear understanding of who she was before God and of what God's will was once it was revealed. So she receives this message that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Savior, the King, and she receives at the same time the message that her relative, Elizabeth, is now in her sixth month. The angel didn't say to her, go visit Elizabeth. But Mary understood that part of the reason why this was revealed to her was so that she would go there. It probably, she didn't even have to think about it. She said, oh, this is a revelation. And so with a spontaneous movement of her heart, she said, well, okay, I've been given this news about myself, and I'm given this news about her. These two pregnancies go together, so I should be with her. I think that's probably what happened. Whereas if it was us, we would say, oh, now I've got it. My whole life has changed, and what am I going to do now? And I'm pregnant, and that's a long way off, and it's in the hill country, and who's going to go with me? And all the kinds of things that come into our minds when we think we have to do something and we make it a burden. None of that would have happened in Mary. And I think it's good to reflect on this, because it helps us understand how it should work. And we have this experience too. It's not like everything we do is ruined by sin. Sometimes we do respond to grace and experience that freedom and joy. Just think of your own experience of knowing the will of God and saying yes to it. Whether it's a small matter or a big thing, you know, vocation in life. When we know the will of God and we say yes to it, there's a certain lightness that goes along with it. There's a certain spontaneity, a certain joy. You know what to do and you do it. Life is not that complicated when you're aware of this unfolding of the will of God. I have this experience sometimes when I have an appointment, or I have to make a journey, or I know that I have to do something in my ministry. Well, everything else gets set aside, and it's not that complicated. This is the thing to do now. I'm sure you have this experience. This is the thing to do now. So even though I might complicate it with, you know, regrets or resentments or questions about all the other things I'm supposed to do, no. Just do it. Just do it. Vocation is like this. This is my experience, and I think this is probably the experience of everybody who knows that he or she is responding to the will of God. Well, if this is what God wants me to do, that means he doesn't want me to do that or that or that. So in marriage, once you know who God has chosen for you, you don't think about other people, other possible partners. Oh, I wish I had married someone else. No, you don't let that clutter your mind. You just dedicate yourself to the will of God. And it's a lot simpler, a lot more joyful. Okay, so that's behind. Now, many people have pointed out that Mary's motive was selfless service of her elderly cousin, Elizabeth. I say elderly, we don't really know how old she was, but she was past the years of childbearing, so she could have been in her 50s, 60s, who knows. So Mary was not thinking, I'm someone special and I'm going to have to do something big for the world. She was thinking, now that I know this about my cousin, certainly it would be good to be there. But I think it's, as I say, probably intuitive more than reason. Like, this is obviously the thing to do because God showed this to me. So she goes as a servant. She goes as a missionary. She goes as an evangelist. Okay. Now, I made this point last Saturday at our Advent recollection. The prophet said that the Lord would level the mountains and fill in the valleys. But in the case of Mary running into the mountains of Judea, the mountains remained there, but she was given the grace to conquer them. And I think this is also a good thing to reflect on. This prophecy about lowering mountains does not have to mean literally changing the mountain, but it's giving us the grace, the strength to conquer the mountain, to climb the mountain, and to climb it in haste. It says here, Mary traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah. Was she thinking, wow, it's really hard to climb this mountain? No. Or maybe she was aware of it. I mean, she's not stupid. It's hard to go uphill. I mean, so that's just normal. But she wasn't thinking, oh, this is a big burden to have to climb this mountain. She was just doing the will of God. And in that sense, the mountain was leveled for her because she was given the strength, the capacity to go and to go in haste. Nothing to hold her back. Okay, then the encounter itself between Mary and Elizabeth. This is where all of a sudden an extraordinary chain reaction takes place. It's like a nuclear reaction. One explosion leads to another. So the first thing is Mary greets Elizabeth. Looks like an ordinary greeting. What was the traditional greeting? Probably shalom, peace be with you, or whatever the standard greeting was at that time. The Lord be with you, perhaps, or something like that. The infant leaps in Elizabeth's womb. Okay, so this is an ordinary greeting with extraordinary power. It reaches to the depths. And young John, 6 months in the womb, leaps for joy. The scholars love to point out that it parallels David leaping for joy at the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant back in the books of Samuel. You know that story of when David brings the covenant into the temple or into the place that was prepared for the Ark of the Covenant, he danced. This is John the Baptist dancing, which identifies not only what John's role is and his experience, but it also identifies Mary as the Ark of the Covenant, bearing the presence of God. So John the Baptist now is dancing for joy, and then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of from inside out, the Holy Spirit fills her, and then she proclaims a message, which we know very well because it's become part of the Hail Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Elizabeth knows from an inner place that this young virgin is blessed and that she's pregnant. Blessed is the fruit of her womb. It was an inspiration. just a few lines later, she not only is she pregnant, but she is the mother of the Lord. So Elizabeth is given extraordinary inner understanding of what's going on here. One thing we can do in pondering the visitation is recognize that both of these women represent us. Elizabeth represents us in this way. We are old and barren. We are limited. We are on our own fruitless. And yet we have been given a capacity to welcome the coming of the Lord. We have been given an inner ability to recognize and to prepare for the Lord. That's, we have a little John the Baptist in us, our own conscience. So Elizabeth is represents us in this sense, that we have in us, growing in us, a sense and an awareness of what the Lord is doing. And this is what the conscience is for us. You know, John the Baptist is the voice of conscience, even in, when it gets to his own public ministry. But even in the womb, he's alerting, he's awakening. He's an Advent figure. And all of Advent, we have been fostering within us, or we should have been fostering within us, this capacity to welcome the Lord and prepare his way. So we're right to continue to allow that inner sensitivity to grow so that we can rejoice when we recognize the presence of God. We can leap for joy when we know God's will. Mary represents us also, because not only do we have a conscience, but the Lord himself dwells in us. Every one of us, every believer, especially every baptized person, is spiritually pregnant, carrying deep within, in the secret of the soul, the living presence of God. Present in secret, operating in secret. We don't even know what he's doing most of the time. But there he is. God dwells in us, and we are the Ark of the Covenant. We are bearers of the divine presence, every person. So just as we have this sensitivity to the presence of the Lord outside, we can recognize others as an Ark of the Covenant and honor the work of God in other people's lives. Well, we ourselves are bearers of divine life. We ourselves are blessed. And so we ourselves have a joyful responsibility to bring this presence into the world. Mary is a missionary, an evangelist. Each one of us is a missionary sent into the hill country, sent to our relatives, sent to those in need, sent to those who are maybe without fully realizing it, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And we who don't always realize that we are bringing the Lord to them. But that's what God is doing. God is active in secret. So we are in this kind of dual condition. We both welcome the Lord and we carry the Lord. And in every encounter we have with other people, all the other pregnant people in the world, that's everybody, we have this visitation grace at work. Let's let this grace continue to grow in us. Let us also dedicate ourselves to respond with joy, to welcome the gift of being blessed and the fruit of our inner life is even more blessed.